Chapter 31. Now it was about this time that Eustos, the boy of Pistos, eluded me and ran away to the king on account of his fear of me on the following occasion. At the beginning of the war made by the Judeans against the Romans, the Tiberians had determined to submit to the king and not to defect from the Romans. But Eustos, bent on revolutionary activities himself, and having hopes that he might truly command both the Galileans and his own fatherland, persuaded them to take up arms. Truly, none of these expectations happened. For the Galileans, out of wrath at what they had suffered from him before the war, harbored enmity toward the Tiberians. Because of this, they would not tolerate having Eustos as a general over them. But I myself, after being entrusted with the guardianship of Galilee by the commonalty of the Jerusalemites, often reached such a degree of anger at Eustos that when I could no longer tolerate his baseness, it was almost necessary to kill him. Therefore, when he had grown anxious that my fury might reach fulfillment, he sent Crispos to the king, supposing that he could reside more securely with him. Now, after the Zipporites had unexpectedly escaped the first danger, they sent word to Cestios Gallus, who was commanding the Roman legions in Syria, appealing to him to come quickly in order to either take the city under his protection or to send a force sufficient to repel their foes' incursions against them. And they finally persuaded Gallus to send them a considerable force, both of cavalry and infantry, which they eagerly admitted when they arrived during the night. Therefore, they disdained me, although I was very powerful at that time, and was a source of terror to everyone. But when the surrounding countryside was being devastated by the Roman army, I took up my party of soldiers and came to the village of Gares. There, I threw up a palisade 20 stadia beyond the city of the Zipporites. Then, I advanced against it during the night and assaulted its walls. And after sending in a considerable number of soldiers by means of scaling ladders, I found myself controlling the greater part of the city. But soon after, due to our ignorance of the terrain, we were forced to retreat, after we had indeed done away with 12 infantrymen of the Romans, but also a few Zipporites, while we ourselves lost only one man. But when a battle later erupted between us and the cavalry in the plain, we, after much violence and having come through grave dangers, were defeated. For when the Romans surrounded us, those who were with me became anxious and escaped to the rear. Now in that pitched battle, one of my most trusted bodyguards fell. His name was Eustos, who had formerly held that same position with the king. Now about this time, the force from the king arrived, both of cavalry and infantry, as well as Sulla, who was commander of the bodyguards. Therefore, this man established an encampment 5 stadia away from Iulios. Also, in order to cut off supplies to the residents from Galilee, he posted a guard on the roads, both the one leading to Seleucia and the one leading to Gamala Fortress. Now, when I had discovered these things, I sent 2,000 heavy armed soldiers, along with Jeremiah as their general. And they threw up a palisade, 1 stadium from Iulios, near the Jordan River, but did nothing else besides fire some projectiles until I myself reached them, having taken up 3,000 soldiers. But on the following day, I posted an ambuscade in a certain ravine not far from their palisade, and then provoked the royal soldiers to a battle. I exhorted my own soldiers to set their backs to them until they were able to entice the royal soldiers to go forward, which also happened. For when Sulla figured that we were truly fleeing, he came forward and was ready to pursue us. But those emerging from the ambush took him from behind and threw them all into a great disorder. But I suddenly wheeled my own force around, went to face the royal soldiers, and put them to flight. And my action that day would have succeeded, had not some demon hindered me. For the horse from which I had fought fell in the muddy terrain and deposited me with it onto the ground. But I fractured the flat part of my hand and was carried into a village named Kfar Nahum. Now when my soldiers heard about these things, they also became anxious, thinking that I had suffered something more serious. Indeed, they abandoned further pursuit, but turned back in great concern for me. Therefore, I sent for physicians, and after receiving care, I stayed behind that day because I had caught a fever. But at night, on the physician's advice, I was transported to Tarikaa. Now when Sulla and his companions discovered what had happened to me, they once again took courage. And realizing that the guarding of our encampment was neglected, he, during the night, set an ambuscade of cavalry on the far side of the Jordan. And when day came, he offered us a battle. But when my soldiers accepted, they proceeded as far as the plain, where the ambushing cavalry suddenly appeared and put our men to flight. Now, although they killed 6 of our men, they truly did not lead this victory to completion. For when they heard that some heavy-armed soldiers had sailed from Tarikaa to Iulios, they became fearful and retreated. Therefore, This was indeed how the disturbances in Galilee were brought to an end. And with the dissensions among their own kinsmen having ended, they turned their attention to preparations against the Romans. Now in Jerusalem, both the chief priest Hanan and the powerful men who were unwise concerning the Romans were readying both the wall and many of the war weapons. And throughout the entire city, while projectiles and full suits of armor were being forged, the multitude of the youth were engaged in irregular exercises, and everything was full of clamor. But the despondency of the reasonable people was terrible, and many, foreseeing the impending calamities, wailed loudly. Also, there were divine omens which were seen as foreboding among the lovers of peace. But among those who had kindled the war, they were being interpreted to suit their pleasure. And the city's condition, even before the Romans' attack, was that of a place about to be destroyed. Yet truly, Hanan had the intention of gradually abandoning these war preparations and of bending both the insurgents and the recklessness of the so-called zealots to a more advantageous course. But he succumbed to the violence. But in the toparchy of Acrabant, Simon, son of Giora, united many revolutionaries and turned to plunder. And he not only tore down the houses of the rich, instead, he also terribly maltreated their bodies. But this plainly showed, even at that early date, that he was beginning to exercise tyranny. But when Hanan and the chiefs sent an army against him, he fled with his band to the brigands who were at Masada. There, he joined them in pillaging Edom, until Hanan and his other opponents were done away with. As a result, due to the multitude of those being murdered and the continual raids, the chiefs of this nation mustered an army to have the villages garrisoned. And these were indeed the affairs of Judah in those days.